Oh, what's going on? Hope you're enjoying your Friday morning. The Nets pushed to a game 7 by the Milwaukee Bucks. And on Friday night, coming up here, a couple other teams try to push it to a game 7. The Sixers try to force a game 7. What a joke that is. My goodness, that series should be over right now. Yet the Sixers somehow dropped the last two games and are facing elimination. That is just unbelievable. And the other team is the Jazz. The Jazz trying to force a game 7 facing a depleted Clippers team. That's right. With no Kawhi Leonard, the Clippers were able to go into Utah, storm into Salt Lake City, and win game 5. Stud performance by Paul George. And Kawhi-less. The Clippers come away with the win. So the Jazz trying to force a Game 7 on Friday night. Let's focus in for a second, shall we, on Kawhi's injury. Because there have to be theories. Is it the curse of the Clippers? Is it because of the jam-packed schedule and all these games being played? There has to be an explanation or blame. You got to point the finger somewhere. So I'm sure you saw that LeBron, he's pointing the finger at the NBA schedule. He basically went on a Twitter diatribe and was like, I knew it. I knew this was coming. Not a shock whatsoever. Playing all these games in a short period of time, and we got all-stars dropping like flies. I tried to tell him. That's what LeBron is saying. Now, I hate that the injuries are taking place in the playoffs. I hate that. But you gotta go case by case here. Has the jam-packed schedule impacted some of the injuries? Yeah, sure. Wear and tear is a real thing. Fatigue is a real thing. It can contribute to injuries. But it's lazy to act like it's contributed to every single injury. It's just silly. That's why you have to go case by case. A perfect example is Kyrie Irving. Look at Kyrie's injury. He goes up for a layup and lands on Giannis's foot and turns an ankle. That has nothing to do with fatigue. That has nothing whatsoever to do with the jam-packed schedule and games being played left and right because of the shortened offseason. And if any games were made up in the second half of the season because they were suspended due to COVID and all of that, it has nothing to do with that at all. Nothing. Do you realize that Kyrie Irving got hurt with 6 minutes to go in the second quarter? So the game he got injured in against the Bucks, he had played 17 minutes. That's it. And Kyrie throughout the season, he was missing games left and right. He missed 18 games during the regular season. That's not a wear and tear deal. That's just sports. Sometimes injuries happen in sports. LeBron's injury, coincidentally, that had nothing to do with the wear and tear of the season. If Solomon Hill dives for a loose ball right into LeBron's foot and his foot turns awkwardly inward, and it's going to take a while to get back healthy. He's an older dude, so even his injury wasn't because of the jam-packed schedule. I just think you got to go case by case. And with Kawhi Leonard, I hate that he's out. I hate that the Clippers are fearing that it's an ACL-related injury. I don't like seeing that at all. But I'm not going to sit here and be like, nope, no wonder. They're playing all these games in a short period of time. No wonder everybody is getting injured just because of that fact. That's not the case. Kawhi also, he's the poster child for load management. He missed 20 games in the regular season. I'm not going to sit here and act like Kawhi can't be fatigued ever in the playoffs. Being the two-way player that he is, yeah, he can get tired from time to time, sure. Even in spite of taking 20 games off. But that has an impact. He's not going to be as fatigued, as worn out as somebody else who's playing a full schedule or closer to it. And you just have to look at the nature of the injury. That's what matters most. Do I believe that if Kawhi Leonard, he's racing down court the same way, and he gets bumped by Bogdan Bogdanovic, Am I supposed to believe that if this is game one or two of the regular season and Kawhi is fresh, that he's incapable of getting injured? Like, that just, it can't happen. It's ridiculous to me. How many times, think about some of the injuries that happened right away at the beginning of a season. Remember when Gordon Hayward just wrecked his leg? It was the first game of the year. Think about Julius Randle, way, way, way back when. He got hurt right away. So to act like, oh, it's just because of fatigue, that's the only reason anybody is getting injured, it's absurd. It's just not true. You got to go case by case. Look, if it's a quad, if it's a hamstring, if it's something like that, okay, I'll be more receptive and more open-minded to, hey, maybe this is because of the grind of a jam-packed schedule. Look at Mike Conley. He hasn't played for the Jazz in their series against the Clippers. Does it have something to do with the season? Maybe. I'm at least open-minded with that. Kyrie Irving jumping up for a layup and landing on a dude's foot and turning an ankle has nothing, zero, to do with the grind of a season, and it's just because he was fatigued. It's insane. So I think that's what's happening is it's so lazy to lump everybody together. I think that the wear and tear certainly is a factor in some of the injuries. I'm not an idiot. I wasn't born yesterday. Certainly it can have an impact. But it's just lazy and it's untrue to apply it to every injury as if that's the cause for everything. It's sports. I go back real fast, last one. CJ McCollum with the Blazers. He started off this season playing at an all-star level. And then he got hurt. His foot got stepped on by Clint Capella. And he was out for 2 months. It's not because he was fatigued. It's not because he was tired. Not because he was worn down. It was at the beginning of the year. He had played like 13 games, something like that. And he got his foot stepped on. And he's on the shelf for 2 months. Has nothing to do with the schedule at all. Yet that's all you're hearing. Oh, gosh, it's because of the schedule. No wonder guys are getting hurt. It's ridiculous. Just don't buy into that for every single injury. There are exceptions, and it is just sports. When you're moving around, you're cutting, you're jumping, you're landing, you're doing all of those things, sometimes you land the wrong way. Sometimes you take a false step. It's the nature of sports. It doesn't always trace back to fatigue. I'm Brian, though, in for Big Ben here on Fox Sports Radio. Let me get out to the phones here. I've been yakking enough. We got beer drinking Brian on deck. Let's go on out there. What's going on, beer drinking Brian? How's your evening going, bud?
Oh, what's up, Brian? I don't think I've ever talked to you. Me and a half pint sitting around just getting sloshed, and, you know, I didn't know Ben was off. That's okay, because you're doing a great job, man.
No, well, thanks, ambulance, Brian. I appreciate that, man.
Yet.
Nice of you.
Well, we haven't had the cops or ambulance yet, so that's a good night, you know, and everything's just going good on our side.
So wait, are you just nursing beer right now? What's going on? Are you taking the night off? Why don't we have the authorities over there? Are you taking it easy because I'm just in as the fill-in guy for Big Ben?
Probably, but I'm not going to go that far quite yet. They're getting so sick of being here every... I mean, like, last week Eddie asked me, or this week, I don't remember. Who knows me more, the ambulance or the cops? And I said, just flip a coin. I don't know.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
I tell you
yeah.
what, man, you gotta talk to my other half, my better half, half point.
Okay. Sure. I'd be happy to.
Okay. Hold on one second, Brian.
Okay.
No one can stop the clock. Hey, Brian, what's up?
How you doing? How's it going, half pint?
I'm going just fine.
I'm glad to hear that. How's the evening going? Are you not drinking like what you normally do here, half pint? Because Brian says you haven't had any visits from the authorities at all.
Well, I've been trying to keep Brian out of the hospital.
How's that going? Are you being successful lately here?
Not too good. He's still drinking the whiskey like always.
Yeah, he's hard to keep in line, isn't he?
And I want to tell thank you to the people that wrote the song.
That is nice of them to do so, right?
Yes. Thank you very much, man.
Brian, you're pretty good at understanding half pint.
Yeah, I listen to Ben, and there are times where I got nothing. I can't tell, but I was on my game here tonight, Coop. I don't know if it was. Yeah.
I remember now. The cops are on my tail end because I'm going to score for Coop's week.
Did you get that, Brian?
And we're back.
Hey, what do you think, Half Pint? Coop went to the Angels game tonight. Are you a baseball fan?
No.
What's your sport of choice?
I like my Minnesota Vikings and I like hockey.
Okay, a little hockey, a little puck, and a little Vikings. How about that Kirk Cousins over there? What do you think about Kirk?
That's a new drop.
Who's your favorite Viking, Half Pint? Who's your favorite Minnesota Vikings player?
Oh, my favorite is 69. Jared Allen.
Jared Allen, that's right. Doing the calf 69. Roping dance. That was beautiful. Love Jared Allen.
Now, my man, he doesn't like Coop.
What?
I mean, Kirk Cousins. You don't like him, do you?
Oh, okay. I thought you were saying you didn't like Coop.
Yeah, that's what I thought, too.
No. It's called Kirk Cousins.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Half Pint, can you give us the horn again? There you go. We gotta
it drop. Sounded like Werewolves of London, you know? It sounded like that song there, Half Pint. This is very well done by you. You know, he asked you to do that just for drop purposes. I know Roberto very well. He was just asking for a clean drop, and you provided it.
Well, I'll be like,
you're perfect.
And no one can drop the claw.
You're perfect. Well, good stuff. It was good to visit with you guys. Are you going to be up for the whole show, or are you going to call it an evening
sometime?
Oh, yeah,
I'll be up for the whole show.
Oh, that's awesome. Very nice. Very good. Well, I'm glad I got to visit with you guys. I haven't been able to do that until tonight.
Nice to meet you, Brian.
Yeah. Well, I hope you guys have a great night.
I hope so, too.
There they are. Beer drinking Brian and Half Pint.
I think I give him a ride on my John Deere.
That was a successful call, Roberto. You got a new drop out of it and everything.
Yes, yes, yes.
Did you know that she was a fan of the Minnesota Vikings?
Yes, yes.
I didn't know that. I did not know that. You guys know a lot more. What are some other fun facts about beer drinking Brian and Half Pint? What is the funnest of the fun facts?
She drives a John Deere.
You got that drop and everything.
Yeah,
I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, good stuff. 877-99 on Fox is your phone number. 877-996-6369. Coming up next, the man who's acting like a child. We'll have some fun with that. I'm Brian, though, in for Big Ben. This is Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Damn! Friday!
Este! Y quítate, manoto, merece que le meneto más derecho. Y quítate, neto.
Thank God it's Friday! Friday! That I saw her boobs, now I'm a believer.
We believe in the power of the people in the Maller Militia. Get the most out of the Ben Maller Show listening experience by adding your touch. Take a few minutes to follow Big Ben on Twitter at Ben Maller or UH Bronco fan, also known as Coop DeLoop. He is in. The executive producer missed the first hour. He was in the bathroom. And in for Big Ben, it's Brian No. He is on Twitter at The No Show. And of course, Ben.
Don't cry.
And Ben and Eddie are not here. They got into a yoga retreat, a couple's yoga retreat. So they are not here. Had to get that going early in the morning on Friday. Back to Brian No.
By the way, Brian Fenley got a tweet here from Sharon. Now, you saw this, but initially she reached out to me. And it just says, please tell Brian, meaning you, please tell Brian that I love him and think he is a genius and a great wordsmith. I don't have his Twitter handle. Thanks. How about that?
And you know what? Some people will say that that's a burner account from me because Sharon doesn't have a picture.
but I promise you it's not a burner account, Brian.
No, I agree with you. It's definitely not. Sharon has hashtag supported the shows at FSR for a long time. So very kind words. Very nice. Very nice. Applause to Sharon for showing you some love there, Brian Finley. I like to see that. Definitely like to see that. Now, false advertising by you, because Coop was checking out his beloved Angels. That's right. He was at the Angels game. And you saw a little bit of, I don't know, history in your own book there, Coop. Have you ever seen a Grand Slam in person before tonight?
I think I have one other time, actually.
I've never seen that in person.
What? What was that?
That was a burp.
Why?
Why not?
Oh, my God. anyway, I want to see a no-hitter. That's what I want to see in person.
Yeah, I've never seen that. There's a lot on my list I haven't seen.
A triple play.
There was one tonight or on Thursday in the Yankees game.
Oh, was there?
Yeah, there was. It was actually history, Coop. You would like this, being a baseball fan. So, yeah, I've got a little bit of audio, too. Listen to Michael Kay. He was all sorts of fired up about the triple play. Here's the short version.
It's a triple play! They pulled a triple play!
Yeah. So I maintain this, not to be a killjoy here, but I don't think every triple play is automatically impressive. If it's just a hot smash and it's a 5-4-3, your standard triple play, I'm really not that impressed. But this triple play, Coop, first time it's ever happened in MLB history. It went 1-3-6-2-5-6.
Oh.
That's how it's officially scored. And basically what happened, there were runners at second and third in the first inning. Yankees were playing the Blue Jays. And so Guerrero hits a little tapper, and he's out at first, and then it was just horrible base running. So the guy that was at second base, he's off the bag, and he gets caught. And so the guy at third's like, well, screw it. I might as well try to score. And so he gets caught in a rundown. Meanwhile, the guy in between second and third tries to get to third, and he's out also. Bam, triple play, and Michael Kay was all fired up about it.
I just watched it. That was pretty cool.
That was a cool triple play. But yeah, I subscribe. I don't know if you're the same. I don't think every triple play is automatically awesome. People always freak about it. I'm like, it was a hot smash to the third baseman. He stepped on third. They went around the horn. I'm not that impressed. But the Yankees triple play, that was amazing. Horrible base running by the Blue Jays. Terrible. But yeah, what would you have, Coop, at the top of your list? I'm going to get to the calls real quick, but what would you have at the top of your watching sports in person list? What's the most memorable or the most impressive thing you've witnessed in person?
That's a good question. Does it have to be something in game?
It doesn't have to be. Like what? You witnessed just this epic fight or something?
No. I was there when they presented Kobe with his MVP trophy, so that was pretty cool.
Yeah, that works. Totally. Absolutely. Yeah, just, something connected to the sporting event. So, yeah, that certainly qualifies. That's cool, and he just hoisted the trophy, and you shed a tear.
Yeah, I mean, he addressed the crowd, too, and I might have been a little misty.
See? Both eyes or just right eye, you know?
Was yeah, it just right eye, you know.
Just the right eye.
Yeah. A little bit of dust or something. Yeah. But in second place would have to be being at a finals game for the Lakers.
Which one was it?
It was game 2, I believe.
Against the Magic or the
Celtics?
Yeah,
against the Magic.
Ah.
Yep.
Oh, 09. Wow. Oh, 09. Yes.
I could tell just by the way you were telling it, you know, like you had a smile on your face. I'm like, it wasn't the 24-point comeback by the Celtics
no.
in the 08 finals. I could tell it wasn't that game based on how you were telling
it. No, it was a rat kill. It wasn't even a good game. But just being there at the finals was cool. I went by myself.
Yeah. Oh, that's
pretty cool.
Roberto, what's on your list, man?
Number one has to be, even though the Dodgers lost, it was 27. We all know they lost because the Astros cheated. So 2017 World Series game two. You know, that would have been the best game of my life I've ever been to. But obviously the Dodgers lost that game. That was great. In 2008, I went Lakers Western Conference Finals against the Spurs. That was awesome too. And also Manny Ramirez bobblehead night. He didn't play, but he came off the bench to hit a grand slam.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, oh, I remember that night.
I was sitting in the pavilion.
That was pretty cool.
That was insane.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite moments of all time as a fan.
That's cool.
And I took my mom too, so it was pretty crazy. And Lefty Pavilion was just packed.
I loved Manny.
Yeah.
But now that you mention it, it brought up a couple more memories, which I hate, you know, they're Dodger memories, but I did go to a lot of Dodger games when I was younger.
We finally get to the truth. Closet Dodger fan, Coop.
No, I mean, look, I've never, like, when I grew up, I was also a Dodgers fan just because, you know, it's a closer stadium. That's, you know, the one that, you know, my dad grew up a Dodgers fan, so I went to a lot of Dodgers games. I was at the Dodgers playoff game that they won with Lima time.
Oh, no.
Oh, Lima
jealous.
Time was huge.
Yes. The atmosphere was insane. It was so cool.
I had just started working in radio around that time, so I couldn't go to the game. Oh, I was so jealous, dude.
And one more. I went to a Dodgers game. And I don't even know how I got this, but somehow I got to go into a suite. So I was in the suite, and it was during Eric Gagne's 88 save streak.
Oh, nice.
And the electricity when he came, like, trotting out of the bullpen was so cool.
Well, do you remember what music he came out to?
It was Guns N' Roses.
Yeah, yeah.
Was it?
Welcome to the jungle. Yeah.
Oh, that's pretty cool for an intro.
Yeah.
I never knew that's what he came out to.
Yeah, back in the days, after the seventh inning, you can go inside to the Dodger game for free. Back in the day.
I don't remember that.
No kidding. Yeah, you could just walk in.
Yeah,
huh?
yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, years ago, yeah.
How many games did you go into?
I never did, but my cousin and my brother did that a few times. They're older than me, yeah.
That's back when things were fun.
Yeah, exactly, know? Yeah.
Yeah. We got restrictions and things now.
Well, yeah, I mean, even when I was a kid, used to, and I did this all the time with my dad, after the game, you would be able to go over to where the players leave the stadium to go to their cars.
Yeah, right.
And just stand and wait there and get autographs from whoever was willing to give them.
Totally. Yeah, it's way different.
Now it's all closed off. Yeah, you can't even.
You would actually laugh at this, Coop. So the first time I was driving out to L.A., it was right after 9/11, and I was driving from Indiana to L.A., and I went through Denver. And so I'm this huge NFL fan, so I drove by the football stadium, and I had this Kodak throwaway camera. It's 01, you know? I don't even know if we had anything fancy back then. And I got out, and I went up to the stadium, and it was just, I don't know, it was like a random Wednesday or something like that, middle of the week. And they were just working on the stadium. And I went there and I saw this dude. And I'm like, hey, man, you mind if I go in and take a couple of pictures of the stadium? He looks at me and he goes, no. He wouldn't let me in. He wouldn't let me into the stadium. There was nothing going on. I was going to take a couple of pictures. But I get it. It was right after 9/11.
Right.
But I always thought that was funny. They were not taking any chances whatsoever that I was, I don't know what. You know, going to detonate something in a stadium full of two people. I don't know. But, yeah, they didn't let me in. I would just say I don't have too many things really impressive on my resume of going to sporting events. But the most well-known game that I was at was the Bush-Push game where USC beat Notre Dame. Yeah, it was kind of cool because I was doing the pregame show on the radio side for that. So you got to go down on the field for the final 5 minutes. So I was on the field. I was right there.
Hey, that's a good one.
Yeah, it sucked because Notre Dame lost. And,
I forgot.
Right. But it's the most well-known game I would imagine that I've been to. And it was crazy. Two things. One was funny, one not. I used to go, because I didn't like this, they would put us in the press box, And of course, it's first world problems because these cost like $500. But I didn't like it because it was a quote unquote working environment. You couldn't cheer. You couldn't feel the stadium. So I would go on top of the press box and it was awesome. You had this bird's eye view. You could look down and see everything. And so in the first half, Notre Dame scored a touchdown. I don't know why, but something caught my eye. I just glance over to the right. And this dude in the nosebleed seats just threw his big gulp like 40, 50 rows just in celebration. Like, yeah, Irish. And he just hoisted this thing. And I see it just flying through the air and bam, just nailed this dude right in the face. I don't know how that caught my eye, but it did. I always remember it with that game. And the other part of it is, because I was on the field, I was walking near Reggie Bush and Lendale White after the game. They're just walking into the tunnel. And I was just walking behind. And, dude, I felt like the biggest idiot ever. I felt so naive. But I'm walking near them, and these fans, they were just, F you effing blah, blah. It wasn't anything like racist or anything crazy, but it was crazy enough. And I was really impressed. Reggie Bush and Lendale White, they walked like they didn't hear one thing. They just walked into the tunnel, minded their business. It was smart, professional. I'm like, wow, that's messed up. I'm like, I see touchdown Jesus right there. It's Notre Dame, right? Like, it's supposed to be respectable. It wasn't. It was not at all. I felt bad, man. I almost went over there and apologized, but that happened that game, too. It was crazy. Okay. Let's get Brian Fenley in here. He's got an update for us. Now, anything before you get to your update, Brian Fenley, on the top of your sports in-person viewing list?
The greatest in-person sports moment of my life, 2014, Alabama and Nick Saban in Oxford, Mississippi, Ole Miss and Hugh Freeze pull off the mesmerizing upset. The students, they pour onto the field, they rip down the goalposts, and they carry the goalposts into the town. Being on the field for that was probably as close as to heaven as I think I'll ever get on earth.
By the way, real fast, super quick memory, Notre Dame beat Penn State one year, and I went onto the field, and there were security dudes literally throwing people off of the goalposts. Oh, they're like, no, you're not tearing the goalposts down. They're very protective that day.
Yeah, and the other one would have to be Josh Rosen when he was with UCLA, and the Bruins were down by 31 to Texas A&M, and he engineers the comeback. It was just at the Rose Bowl. It was one of the best comebacks in football history.
You'd be a good time to be at a game with, Brian Fenley. I can just picture you. Just kind of like Canseco and Maguire, the Bash Brothers. You're just bashing, you know, like elbow to elbow kind of celebration. I feel like you being a caveman with your celebrations in a good way.
Well, I just need to borrow, if I was going to go to an Angels game, I would borrow some of Coop's foam fingers. But, you know, he has the foam fingers of every team. And I think he has like six different foam fingers for Lakers and all of this gear that he has that he wears every time he works.
What are you talking about?
By the way, I found my Adam Morrison Charlotte Bobcat jersey, and I'm going to take a picture of it because I don't think anybody believes that I actually have one.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Brian, though, in for Big Ben. Let's get out to the phones. Charlie is in San Antonio. I'm curious about this. He's got a thought about crowd fights. We had Devin Booker hook up a Suns fan who just completely decimated this Nuggets fan. And so that's what got us into the crowd fight topic. But go ahead, Charlie. What's on your mind as far as crowd fights go?
Real quick, before I get into that, I just want to say one of my favorite in-stadium moments was I was at game one of the 2014 finals. It was like a $600 ticket, but it was horrible, don't get me wrong, because the AC went out.
Was that game one, the cramps?
That was game one when we had a cramp, when James started crying like a little girl, you know, they had to carry him off. But that was the most electric, rabid, you know, atmosphere I've ever been to in a game, because we had just lost the year before, you know, like everyone knows the Ray Allen shot. And so at first we were nervous, you know, but, you know, as the game progressed, it just got rowdier and rowdier. And I remember it was like midway through the second quarter, people started noticing something was wrong, because I remember sweating. I'm sweating out all this beer and liquor. It's an ugly feeling. People are getting hot and red. And it's just, that's when, you know, they made an announcement, you know what I mean, that, you know, that we had some issues or whatever. You know, people started getting word that the AC wasn't working. But it was incredible atmosphere. I mean, although it was disgusting. I mean, it smelled like barbacoa with cilantro, cheese, and onions throughout the entire stadium. It was like a swamp in there. But it was great. That was an awesome game to watch.
And that qualifies, man. Certainly a memorable
barbacoa
game.
With cheese and onions, that's good smell.
Not when it's coming from a human being, Roberto. When it's coming from a to-go bag at your taqueria, yes, but not in the stadium. But anyway, no, I'm a little disappointed in you. You know, like you lost some points. You're gonna disparage fan fights. Look, I know you're from the Northwest, and
I'm not from there. I'm from the Midwest.
Well, I know you cover Northwest teams, right? And you know, up there, y'all's diet consists of soy milk lattes and sushi and all that. But red-blooded Americans, we love fights. Stadium fights are as an oldest tradition as a wave. Let me tell you something. If it was that big of a deal, why are they always going viral? People want to consume this. And I know you're clutching your pearls way too hard, but take a step back. I have a $1 million idea for you now, right? Mm-hmm. What if every stadium had a designated fan, right? That he would just, there would be like a box, like a penalty box. He's sitting there and he just waits for a challenger. Whatever road team comes in, and then, you know those little cheesy intermission timeout games, you know, instead of half court shots, forget that. We put them center court and just let them slug it out for 30 minutes. You know what I mean? Let's see who represents your team, because that Suns dude, legend. Legendary way to not only shake off that sucker punch like a champ, you know, but starch that Denver fan and hold up the four. That's a drop the mic moment. Come on, man. You're not going to encourage this?
No, because you're thinking of it from just your perspective. I get why these videos go viral. Yeah, we love seeing that stuff. But the NBA doesn't. That's the whole point. NBA isn't going to sit there and be like, dude, Devin Booker, you're killing us. You can't hook up a dude that just went fisticuff city on some other fan. We can't encourage violence. This is bad for the league.
People would love that. Look, when I say Raiders fans, what's synonymous?
Criminal.
You know, people. But that's what I mean.
Racist.
Like, to act like we don't consume violence. It's just. You're being disingenuous. Can I ask you personally?
No.
Here,
real quick though, Charlie, real fast, and I'll let you ask your question. There's a difference, right? It's a time and place type deal. Am I going to watch UFC? Yeah. Am I going to watch boxing? Yeah. Am I going to watch a viral video of two fans going crazy? Yeah, absolutely. That appeals to me. But it doesn't appeal to the business aspect of it. That's not good for the NBA. That you can't be naive and think that's good for the NBA. It's not.
We just saw people drop, 100 mil to watch Floyd Mayweather and a YouTuber slug it out. People like this stuff. Wait, let me ask you a question. If you were in the stands, right? If you were a couple rows above them, would you jump in there and be like, guys? Stop it. This is bad for the NBA. No, yeah. You pull out your cell phone and be like, yeah, get that guy. Woo!
Why? Because that's me as a fan. That's not me, Adam Silver, or me, one of the powers that be of the NBA, the league. Like, everything you're saying is just based on your perspective. I'm encouraging you to look at it from the NBA's perspective. And when you look at it from their perspective, that's not good. It'd be like, think about this, the Malice at the Palace. I've watched those videos over and over again. I can't get enough of it. It's amazing. Freaking terrible for the NBA. Horrible. Not good for them whatsoever.
right? When that person was like, yeah, what are you going to do? Oh, he's really coming in a stance. That's gold. I love it. You know, but I'm just saying, like, if we can act like, oh, this is, we're way above this. Like, we're a civilized society. Like, come on, man. There was a multi-million-dollar business called Bum Fights when I was growing up. People bought these tapes because they wanted to see random people throw down. World Star. Like, you know, the NBA can act like they're all buttoned up or everything, but trust me, stadium fights are awesome. And you know, if you've ever seen one or been a part of one, those are some great stadium memories. You know, and shout out to Roberto, the Chavez Ravine undefeated champion, you know what I mean? Like, come on, man. Like, we can't act like this is something that we can just eradicate. And I actually appreciate Devin Booker reaching out and embracing this guy because he stood up for his squad, his city, and he held up the fort. Come on, man. Like, that's...
All right. Yeah, listen, your point is well taken, Charlie. I appreciate you checking in. He has given us another topic, which is we did our resumes of the most impressive sporting event or whatever that you've seen in person. Now we can do the most impressive fight where it's, oh, dude, I was at Candlestick. Dude, bum out of nowhere, right cross, bam! And we could do that topic, too. No,
I've got a good
bad
one.
For the NBA.
I've got a good one.
Coop has a good story as far
and,
as...
And I have a comment on your bad for the NBA take, but... You
okay,
know,
let's get
to that
coming
later.
Up. Yeah. Let's get to it coming up, because I'm curious what you think about that. And also, Coop's got a fight for the ages that he witnessed at a sporting event. I'm all ears for this. That's coming up. I'm Brian, though, in for Big Ben. This is Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Nothing good happens after midnight unless you listen to the Ben Maller Show. Join the fastest growing club on Fox Sports Radio. Simply follow Ben on Twitter at Ben Maller. Like the Ben Maller Show on Facebook and Instagram at Ben Maller on Fox. You can add your touch to weekly show bits like Ask Ben and Lame Jokes. Let's get back to the show. A man who was not corporate Ben, it's Brian Noe.
Thank you, Brian Fenley. Appreciate that. So to set the scene again, I am on no island, it seems like, as the adult here. I'm viewed as a wet blanket, Buzzkill City, where the story is this. There was a Suns fan at a Nuggets game. Fight breaks out. Suns fan gets a beer poured on him. There was a weak sucker punch that did next to no damage. But anyway, Suns fan, in retaliation, just pummels this dude. And then goes Suns in four. And it goes viral. Devin Booker reaches out, says, need man's info. And he hooks him up. He gives him a signed jersey and tickets to a Western Conference Finals game. Now, on one side, hilarious. But from the NBA's point of view, I think this is a bad thing. This is not good. You don't, if you're the NBA... One, want to see fights in the stands, first off. Then, you don't want to see one of your stars saying, oh, my man, here's a signed jersey and here are tickets to the Western Conference Finals. You don't want that. Now, that's the scene. Coop has a rebuttal here with my stance of this being bad for the NBA.
Well, look, I understand what you're saying, but the reason that I think it's not as bad as maybe you're making it out to be is because of the sucker punch. It's seen as self-defense. So.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, like, that's
well, it's
what
true.
It's
and
turned
not,
into.
Not only that, he was in hostile territory. So to me, watching that video, it tells me that those guys were in the wrong, not before the sucker punch, because none of those other Nuggets fans came to their aid. They were just like, okay, yeah, go ahead, get pummeled.
Well, sure, but I think that's the thing. At the NBA, they're not looking at the details. They're not thinking of this as, well, he got a beer poured on him. Well, you know, he got sucker punched and then just absolutely wailed on the guy. So, all good. They started it. They got what was coming to them. They're thinking, this isn't good for business. We don't want to be known as the league where fights can break out at any time. They don't want, that's not good for them. That's how I see it.
I don't know that, did it go mainstream though? It went viral, and all of the people that see it are the same kind of, like, have the same mindset as Charlie and me, you know?
All right, we'll get back to that. Your calls, more than welcome. Also, the man who is acting like a petulant child.